swag.
Hi guys, welcome to another episode of the Outcast podcast. I'm joined with my guest today, Reyna.
Yo.
How are you doing today?
I'm good. I'm baking.
It is hot.
Mate.
It's cool in here, but it's hot.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sat in front of a fan right now and it's the best thing that's happened to me all week.
It is nice, actually.
But like, it is really trust nice. Me, went to bed last night. I woke up this morning. I was well done.
That's
well
good.
Done piece of steak.
Trust me. Trust me. So tell us a little bit about yourself first.
Oh, where do I start? So I'm a northern girl. I always tell everyone this. I'm a Mancunian.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I'm from Manchester. And before anybody asks, I'm a blue. I support Manchester City.
Oh, okay, cool.
Because this is a thing. But real Mancunians support Manchester City. Okay. So yeah, I support Manchester City. Yeah, church girl. Was a church girl, then wasn't a church girl. Uh-huh. And now I'm trying to be a church girl again.
How's that journey going so far?
Yeah, do you know what? It's an interesting journey and life is very interesting and there's so much that you experience and you go through and things change, you grow. But yeah, so I started off as a church girl. Like my family was deep in the church. Like my granddad was a bishop, my dad was a pastor.
I can relate.
So I'm your typical PK. And same yes, here. Your typical PK in the sense that, yeah, I fell off the wagon and I went book wild.
Are you the first child as well?
I'm the oldest child.
Oh my gosh.
So, but yeah, so that was a big part of my life. Yeah. And it still is a big part of my life. Even when I left church, that was a, you know, everything that you taught and that you knew, it's like, it's still a big part of your life. So that's me. Professionally, I work in communications and PR. So I do campaigns and I worked for myself for many years and now I work in corporate companies doing it and like running quite high profile campaigns. And that's anything from print campaigns to television work to PR and working with the media. Social media is a big thing now for everyone, so doing a lot of that. How it happened is I used to be a journalist, so I used to work for Guardian Media Group. I was a radio reporter, actually, so this being behind this mic
is like
not being behind a mic for years but yeah, getting back behind the mic now. So that's how it started, and then like the money was so whack,
really,
and the hours were crazy. I loved it because I love telling stories, but yeah, that was a bit crazy. So I was like, nah, I need to change. So I just went into communications. Mm-hmm. It's using the same skills, but doing something different, helping businesses use the skills that I had. So that's how I kind of ended up in communications. Really into music, like come from a very musical family. Mm-hmm. So my dad was a musician, his brothers are musicians. They used to play in groups. Like if I go to my parents' house now, there's vinyls there with my dad. Pictures of my dad on the back with his afro and his earphones, like just posing. I'm like, when was my dad cool? Do you know what I mean? But yeah, bless him, God rest his soul. But yeah, so he was a musician, so come from a very musical family. I'm one of the least musical ones now in the family. Like some of them carry it on and some of them are a lot better than me, but yeah, and I've, like my friends are all in the industry as well. Music's another massive part of my life. So yeah, and I'm just a general, I like to give people advice, but I don't necessarily take my own advice. Something I need to learn to do a bit better. But yeah, I talk a lot. That's how I ended up in communications. Like originally it was like,
you talked them down to giving you the job.
Well, no, because like what it was, I was in college doing psychology and I was like, oh, I'm going to be a psychologist. And then I got bored with psychology. I was like, no, this is too much hard work, you know? And so I, in my head, just thought, I ain't going to go uni. That was not an option with my mum. She's like,
you're going.
So going. For everybody else, it was like a choice. It's like mandatory in my house.
You're the first, I think it's the first firstborn, isn't it?
So I was like, well, I don't know what I want to do. My mum was looking through the prospectuses and she found a journalism course and she's like, you're good at talking, do that.
Wow.
And that's legit how I ended up in journalism. But she was dead right. Do you know what I mean? She was right. And actually, going into journalism, I loved it. And being in communications now, I love it. So some people, you know, it's like, oh, you know, I don't know what I love and all that kind of stuff. I genuinely do feel like I'm doing what I love. I love what I do. I love working on campaigns, seeing people's, you know, their businesses or their projects or, you know, different things like that come to life because of something that I've done.
Of course.
And just like being creative, working with designers, photographers, all that kind of thing.
That's really cool.
And personalities and talent. Like different famous people to help promote a product or something like that. Yeah, I love it. But like, I don't know famous people compared to the people that my mates.
Right.
Like, they're doing gigs with real famous.
The thing is with the music industry as well, it's so small, so everybody knows it. Like, even if we don't know each other. Yeah, we have a mutual friend that like knows.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Exactly.
So the industry is so, so small.
It is so small. And that's why you have to walk good with people as well.
It's so true.
I don't think people understand like how important it is to have good relationships.
Yeah. And a good name as well.
And a good name. And your name goes before you. And it stays behind when you leave somewhere as well. And I'm big on legacy and like leaving a good legacy and having impacts. Like the one thing for me, even when I go to my job, like I work in the city, so people say, oh, city girls, city boys, whatever. For me, when I go into my job, I'm like, I want to make a difference. Like I want to make a difference to somebody's day to day, whether it's allowing them to have a rant to me about something because they've got no one else to talk to, helping them see their projects through, helping them bring an idea to life. I just want to make a difference to someone's day because life's hard. Do you know what I mean?
It's hard.
Mate.
It can get hard. Would you want to start your own business again? Because you said you were out of it. Do you want to go back into it at some point?
I still have my business. Okay. It's just dormant at the moment because I'm in employment. I think long term I probably will. Mm-hmm. Knowing my nature, my personality, I don't think long term I could probably stay doing what I'm doing for somebody else. Mm-hmm. Just because I have way too many ideas, and working for somebody else, you are confined to what it is that business wants. Right. But in many ways, that's helping me to grow professionally as well. And it's part of the reason why I'm doing that at the moment. But I think I will go back to working for myself. But I know what the next stage of me working for myself is. It's expanding. Yeah. So previously I was working, it was just me, I was solo. Mm-hmm. And it can get quite hard. And at times, you know, some of my other friends who run their own businesses, they were like, bring somebody else on, you know, bring somebody on to help you. Yeah. And I was like, nah, because I haven't worked out the model of how my business is going to look. But now I've worked it out, do you know what I mean? And I think that when I am at the time and place to do that again, I know what my comms business will look like.
Right. Yeah. That's good because, like, I think, even speaking for myself, someone who's obviously running their own business, like working on the business and working in the business is two different things.
Oh, absolutely.
Do you know what I mean? And it gets so much, like too much at times,
where
you have to bring someone else on to help you out. Do you know what I mean? So I've got a small team now, but they're amazing. I love them to bits and they help me out. But yes, it can get really difficult. Really, really difficult.
Massively difficult. And how do you find it like managing other people in your own business? Because I've managed other people within the confines of like working for a bigger business.
Right.
But within my own business, I can just imagine it would mean so much more. So I'd be a lot more precious about it. And what challenges does that bring you?
Working with creatives can be fun, but creatives are emotional, very emotional people. Yeah. So they could, like myself, I'm quite emotional when it comes to obviously my business, because you go through like, the week, you go through so many different emotions within a day, let alone a week. So they could be, you know, happy today, then I'm getting a phone call tomorrow saying, yo, I want to quit, I want to drop this thing, and I'm have to be encouraging them, saying, no, you can actually do it, keep going, I'll help you through it, what do you need, do you know what I mean? So I love it, it's helping me build their vision and their career and what they want to do, and it's my passion, it's my calling, so it doesn't even feel like work most of the time.
And how far do you see your business going? Like how much are you trying to grow it?
How long do you want this podcast to like?
Far on. Both of us talk a lot, so we can't be. We're limited.
I know, it's true. We are limited. I think for me, what I really want to do, I want to start owning business, like owning property. Like to have like a live events place or like a rehearsal studio or a production studio on a big scale would be like the world to me. So I could actually have the keys to like the kingdom and put on everybody that I think, especially for the live events, I'd love to do that. That would be the ultimate goal.
And you know, the thing is, we sometimes, and I'm not saying that this is what you're saying now, but sometimes we feel like these things are really far out of reach. They're either out of reach or they're too far for us to touch. The one thing I've learned is it's not for me to know how to do it. Mm. Actually, I just need to get the right people around me to make it happen. And I'm the visionary. I'm the one that.
Oh yeah, definitely.
It's my vision. It's my idea, and I need to lead on that. But if I can get assemble a bit like Avengers assemble. If I can get the right people around me, I can probably get there quicker. And one of the things that I've learned in leadership is like, look, it's really hard when you have an idea. It's like your baby almost.
Yeah,
it's
of
like,
course.
This is my baby. I need to hold on to it. And in your head, you know exactly how you want it to be. And handing the reins of certain elements over to other people can be quite difficult.
You have to let other people babysit every now and again.
You absolutely have to. But it's about trust as well. And when you build a team around you that you trust, it's yeah, man.
Like, I trust my team. Yeah. I love my team to bits. Do you know what I mean? I was on the phone with one of my team members this week, and they were like, I wasn't sure if you could do this, or I wasn't sure if... I was like, yo, whatever you want to do, like, you have my go-ahead. Just do it. Just try it out. Take the risk and go for it. And they were like, all right, cool. And to have that, like you said, to have that trust... just to allow them to do it, because if they get the job done and they do it better than you or whatever the case is, allow them to do it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's the freedom of it. So I really do think that having a team is very, very efficient, like needed. For your business, like when you start up again, what are the kind of dreams and aspirations that you have?
So for me, so I'm a communications and PR girl.
Okay.
And I've worked in big agencies, like agencies that are global and like have 30,000 people, small agencies where there's only 30 of us. Now I'm in-house working for a company. But when I was working for myself, I was a consultant. So I was going around doing communications and PR for different businesses and projects and things like that. What I want my business to be is an agency. So it is a comms agency, but where it's more of a cooperative, so everybody has a stake in it. So like I say, I work a lot with videographers, photographers, designers, writers, all those kind of things. Rather than it just being Raina's business, it's Raina, and Farhan's got a stake in that business, and Susie's got a stake in that business. And do you know what I mean? Everyone who's in it. So it's more cooperative rather than you work for the business.
Right.
You have a stake in it. So as a photographer, you have a share in that. And so it's a model that I've not seen in my industry yet. Companies give shares away, but whether you really have a say. And I think just doing that, I think that all that creative power in one...
Oh, definitely. Like, the collaboration and synergy is immense, do you know
And because we all would all have ownership in it.
Right.
And of course, it's my business, so I'd have the biggest stake and I'd be ultimately responsible. You still have to have a leader in businesses. You do you know what I mean? You can't have too many cooks. There has to be a leader and a figurehead. But that's the kind of model that I'm looking at. And working on different campaigns. I really am passionate about small businesses. And the one struggle that I did find when I was working for myself, I wanted to do small businesses, not big corporates.
Right.
But small businesses don't have the money.
Yeah.
And what I do is...
Yeah.
And I'm not talking about just me. I just mean campaigns are very expensive.
Of course they are.
You can do very cost-effective campaigns. But generally speaking, what everyone wants, I'll sit down with a client and they'll say, right, this is what I want. And I'm like, that's great. So have you got like 30 grand?
To just like be on one billboard.
Yeah, do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's like my heart used to break because I'm like, I could help so many more small businesses, but they don't have the capital.
Yeah.
So the one thing I am trying to do at the moment is work out a way that communications, PR and media professionals can help small businesses in a way that's cost effective for them, but equally where we don't lose out. So a photographer's rate is the photographer's rate, a videographer's rate is the videographer's rate, and ad space costs what it costs, but there must be a way that I've not worked it out yet, but I believe there's a way, and I've just given away my business model, but like
this is the thing, I've learned, even if you do give them the business model, no one can do it because only you could do it.
Yeah,
that's the thing I've realized, is that even if you were to give everything away, it's just, if God's given that to you, then it's like your thing to run. Do you know what I mean?
I can't.
And no matter who has heard it or whatever the case is, they can't do it the way you can, and probably do it better. So, because everyone's different. Do you know what I mean?
No,
everyone's unique.
What you've just said, it's the second person who said that to me.
Yeah.
So at one point in my life, I'm really big into food as well. So I cook and bake quite a lot. And like, I like doing dinner parties and all that kind of stuff. Mm. And like, I was starting a food business with one of my good friends.
Right.
And it was slow for me and him because we both had our jobs and we were trying to get this off the ground on the side. And I'm very impatient. Now, he's an accountant, so he's a lot more patient and structured. I work in the creative industry, so I like to see things like
done. I'm
done,
the same, like yesterday. Yesterday,
like,
should be done
just,
yesterday.
Do you know what I mean? I'm like the Duracell bunny bouncing off the wall sometimes.
Yeah.
And so I was like, oh, why is it not happening? And then somebody came up with they launched a very similar idea. So our business was going to be West Indian and African food.
Okay.
So you could get jerk chicken and jollof rice, for example. So if I go to a Yard Food shop now, I can get jerk chicken and rice and peas.
That's true.
Or if I go to a Nigerian food shop, I can get egusi and but it was about fusing the two foods. And then I saw a business that it was called Jerk and Jollof or something like that. Now, Afara, and that made me so vexed. And I said to my business partner, I was like, look at that, they've stolen our idea.
Right, and I
lost it. I was like really upset. And I was like, it's not, you know, things are just moving too slow. And he was like, Ray, no one can ever steal your idea.
It's true.
He said, it's our idea. No one can ever steal it. They can do it, but the way we're doing it is completely different. And the way it'll come to fruition for us is completely different.
Yeah.
So don't worry about it. Don't worry about it, because we're still going to do our thing.
Of course.
And it still will be, and you know, for many reasons, we haven't been able to make it work yet. You never say never. And me and him, you know, we still every so often were like, you know, is it time? And if it's right, we will revisit it. It's not right for either of us right now. But yeah, exactly what you said. He was like, nah, nobody can ever steal your idea.
Like, as you were saying that, I was kind of thinking, what? It's like diversity is one of the things that they tell us in business, like you obviously need to like diversify your products and what, but just like diversifying in life in like different situations, because like you said, you started up with the food thing and then you want to go into PR and communications and stuff. Like, how much of your life has changed from you being a, you know, in your younger days saying, right, I just want to be this thing, and then you've realized, oh, you've evolved and gone on this mad journey and you can do like five different things plus the original thing you wanted to do. Like, what's that journey been like?
It's been crazy. Now, the thing, I'll start off with this. The one thing I've learned is, until we come to the end of our life,
right,
nothing in this life is final.
It's so true.
And you are allowed to change your mind.
Yeah.
And like I say that to a lot of young people that I talk to or mentor.
Right.
I say, you're allowed to change your mind. So when I was in college, I wanted to be an educational psychologist.
Right.
I changed my mind before my exam results even came. And like I said to you earlier, my mum was like, well, you're still going to do something.
Yeah, big sign, but you're still going.
But I changed my mind. And it was okay, because look, it worked out.
Yeah.
So I went and did my journalism course. And then at the end of it, I couldn't get a job in journalism. It was kind of one of those courses where it's like, okay, I've done this, but I can't get a job now.
Yeah.
And I was doing loads of community radio and all that kind of, and I went and worked in the Apple shop for a bit. Whilst I worked out, like, what am I going to do? And then I went and did a master's, and that was paid for by The Guardian.
Oh, nice.
So that's how I actually started to work in journalism.
Yeah.
And then I was a journalist. I was everything that I wanted to be in that moment in time. I was a journalist. I'm going out, I'm interviewing people, meeting random people, MPs, celebrities, doing all that kind of stuff, doing what I love, working with sound and radio and like editing and all that. And then changed my mind again. And it was like, okay. So then I went into communications and at first it was like, love it. I was like, yeah, money's good. You know what I mean? I've got regular hours now. You know, people complain about 9 to 5.
Right.
I don't want to do a 9 to 5. Listen, I was glad for a 9 to 5 because when I was a journalist, I was traveling around and like barely sleeping. And so I was glad for a 9 to 5. So I was doing that.
Mm-hmm.
But I was doing like media and PR at the time when I first went to communications. And it was like, yeah, great. And then I got a bit bored with that. So then I did just internal comms. And I was like, okay, love this. It's different. And then I got bored with that. Then I left my job. I was like, right, I'm going to do contracting and
so
I'm going
like
to work.
Four or five different roles.
Do you know what I mean?
Like, yeah, off
do you know
the
what I mean? Yeah. And then I was like, I'm going to work for myself. And then when I was working for myself, I was like, right, I need multiple streams of income.
Yeah,
I don't just want to like do my communications. And the good thing for me was like, I could do media or internal and corporate affairs. So I'd done the spectrum of what communications was. But even that, I was like, still boring. I want to do something different. I love my cooking and my food. And everyone's always like, Ray, you should open a bakery. Ray, you should open a yard future. And I'm like, who's got time for that kind of thing?
Yeah.
And then I was like, actually, it's a thing. Spoke to my mate and he was like having similar ideas. So we were working on that. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it's because I allowed myself the freedom and the flexibility to not be tied down. Now, the thing is, I'm saying all this and it's great.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you do have to be sensible. We all
of
have
course,
bills.
Of course,
do you know what I mean? Everyone's got bills.
Yeah.
Now, there was never a time, I never made a decision without having the financial backing to make that decision.
Right.
So like, if you're someone like me, you need to be able to stack your money as well.
Of course.
Have a reserve. Now, I always think whether it's a rent or mortgage, you should be able to pay that for like 3 months. So working for yourself, you should have enough money in the bank. Should your job or your contract or whatever you're working on be pulled, you can still like
You can still survive on
you can still survive for like 3 months.
Right.
So you have to be sensible. If you've got kids and things like that, it's like, you might not be able to be as flexible as somebody else who hasn't. But so you do have to apply a sense of sensibility, you should give yourself the freedom to pursue things that you love.
Right.
Because who was it that woke up and said, once you go into that job, that's it forever?
Yeah. I think those days are done now anyway.
Yeah.
Those days of just like saying, are you doing one job for life?
It's just like, totally finished.
Do you know what I mean? With the way the world is going and like you're talented in different areas. Like for me, I knew when I was younger, I just wanted to be a musician. Yeah. I just wanted to play drums all day, every day. That was it. No one can tell me nothing. Like I would have been, I know for a fact, if I stayed on that way, I would have been playing on tour with some of the best artists in the world. But it was only when I got to 16, 17, I realized, hold on, like how long is this gift actually going to help me throughout my career? Like when I start having kids and married and house, is it really going to sustain me long term?
Yeah.
Then I realized, I need to not be a better musician, but I need to find out what other talents I have within this industry. So I went to university and I found out, I can be a producer, I can be a composer and do music for film, I could do live events, I could do so much within this industry. And hence the company came over. And I would, in my wildest dreams, I would have never thought of ever being a founder of a company, let alone just being a session musician. Do you know what I mean? So I hear that a lot. I definitely hear that. And it's amazing to hear all the things that you've achieved. And the thing is that you learn so much as you're doing these different jobs.
Mate.
Like I never realized how much, because before that as well, I could teach music, like naturally, because obviously you intro backgrounds. We're used to doing Sunday school, all these other things. But then I went to a teaching agency, and they actually gave me a job being like an SEN teacher and all these other things as well. And I was doing that, and I realized, yo, I'm actually good at this as well. And I was incorporating some music stuff to it. And I learned so much from just teaching. I could actually pull it into other areas of my life as well. And I'm great with kids anyway, you know, I've learned so much through these different, you know, job titles and stuff, and it's really, really amazing.
And that's the thing, like what you've just said about learning, for me that's the big takeaway. Like I think we all need to keep an attitude and a mindset of being open to learn. And when you're like that, you're hungry. Like me, I'm always hungry, so I'm already like, right, what's my next challenge? What's the next thing I'm gonna, like, how can I grow? I am that girl in the office. Who looks after this project? Me. Or who wants to look after this project? Me, because I want to try something new. I want to learn. And what was it? It was Richard Branson. Like, I think it was his book. I can't remember. No Longer a Virgin or something like that. And in it, he says, I say yes first and figure out how to do it afterwards.
I'm like that as well. And like that, I've heard that, yeah.
Yeah, that, like, I read that book probably, I reckon, 6-7 years ago.
Was it a thick one?
It's a thick one.
I've got that same book at home. Oh, mate.
And that has not left me. Like, I will legit, like, say yes to things.
Yeah, it's true.
And
figure it out.
And then I'm like, okay, I don't actually know how to do it. But you know what? I know that a foreign knows how to do something so it's like, a foreign, how can we work together on this? I got this has come in, and tapping into different people, or can you show me how to do this? And being open to learn and being told, like, too many people don't want to hear. People don't want to learn and don't want to be told, like, and that is a hindrance. It will hinder your progress, and just a willingness and an attitude to learn will get you so far, and people are more receptive to that as well. I'll be honest, I prefer working with people and having people in my teams that are open to learning and open to constructive criticism and growth, because I am. So, like, just because I manage you, it doesn't mean that you won't teach me something.
Right.
And vice versa. Do you know what I mean? So, just because I'm your manager and I'm probably younger than you, which has happened to me before, do you know, I've managed people who've been in my sector for longer than me and they're older than me, and it's like they didn't want to hear what I had to say, because it's like, who's this young chick that I don't care if they've recruited her, I've been around longer than her. And it's like, some of them didn't want to hear it, and like, but when I showed my openness and my willingness to learn, and
it lowers their guard as well.
It lowers their guard. And I just I think you have to be open to learn on journeys like this, because you are going to learn a lot. You're going to learn a lot about yourself. Because I've learned things about me that I didn't like. And it was like, Lord, I gotta change that.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? And I had to work on myself. I learned things about myself in the sense that I thought I was good at something, but actually...
You're not that great. Yeah, mate. I know. I know them ones so well.
Mate, and I'm thinking, I'm bossing at this. And then you meet someone else and they're doing the same thing. And it's like, geez, yeah. Like the way they're doing it is way better. And if I don't up my game, I'm going to lose this client or I'm going to lose this project. Mm. And so I think learning's a big thing in this journey as well. Yeah. And so being open to learn and not being locked in, but being sensible too. You just have to be sensible. Mm. You know, we'd all love to be free spirits, but I don't know many millionaires. Do you know what I mean?
Not yet anyway.
Not yet, not but yet. I don't know many millionaires. And even the millionaires, the few that I have met would tell you, be sensible. Mm. Like, you can't just be like willy-nilly and just, you have to be structured and considered. And that's where, for me, mentoring and... Mm. Like shadowing and connecting with people is really important.
Right.
Like, reach out to people and say, can I have a coffee with you?
Yeah.
Because I want to understand this. I want to learn this. Mm. I'm not scared to, like, talk to people and share, like, what I've been through. And equally, I'm not scared to reach out to people and say, yo, could I just, like, have an hour? Can I take you for a coffee?
Yeah.
Like, do you know what I mean? Can I take you for a coffee?
It's good to do that.
Yeah. And just, there's so much wisdom out there.
So
and
much.
It's just, you know, we just need to harness it more because we don't know everything.
That's true. What about on your off days? Do you have any off days?
Of course I do.
I had one yesterday. Yeah. It wasn't even an off day. It was off like a couple hours.
Yeah.
It was really just like, I was sitting in a bus stop. I was going to go teach a lesson.
Yeah.
I teach a young child, LJ Keats.
Yeah, yeah.
He's a great keyboard. He's only six and he's already playing like full songs. I'm so proud of that guy. He's such a little... genius. But yeah, I was on my way. I was just sitting at the bus and obviously it's hot, people got their cars or whatever, and I'm just I, there was one car I saw in particular, I can't remember what it was, but it was a nice car, and it drove past and I was just like, what am I doing with my life, man? Like, I started reevaluating everything and looking at all the like the negative straight. I don't know how I got into that. It was almost like, you know when you reach almost borderline depression?
Yeah.
It's almost like that.
Yeah.
And you start evaluating yourself. You're like, what? Am I really doing this? And you look at your circumstances or whatever. And it was for like an hour. From the time I got from the bus stop to his house, I was just like, you know what? I'm on the edge right now and I could jump.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So like, how do you overcome or how do you get through those type of days?
So there's... For me, there's two things here. First, allow yourself to have that.
Okay.
So allow yourself to have those emotions. We're human.
Right.
And I think a lot of people that work for themselves, no, not even just work for themselves, people who work, like, we think we're Superman or Superwoman.
Yeah.
Like, so I don't have children, but, like, I'm scared to have kids sometimes because I'm like, geez, how will I cope with that? Because like, I'm doing all these other things as well. I'm struggling now. Like, how will I cope when I have a child? Like, how will I manage that? But actually, the one thing I've learned from speaking to various people in various different situations is just allow yourself to have the moment and then you will move on because it will pass.
Yeah.
Like, I have had days like what you've talked about. There's one in particular so when I was working for myself and the work wasn't coming in, do you know what I mean? I'd had time of plenty and now I was in the time of lack.
Right.
And I was like, I don't want to eat into my reserve money. Cause
you don't want to. Oh, that's, mate.
So that was the point that I'd got to.
Yeah.
So I was like, at first I was like, nah, I can, you know, it don't matter if nothing comes in. But this was like week two or three. And I was like, okay, I'm going into week four now and nothing, you know. And it was just that the market was quiet.
Yeah,
it was nothing
quiet,
to do
nothing,
with me.
You can't control it. It was
you
something
can't
out of
control
your control.
It.
Yeah.
But I got into a right funk. So I was like...
I'm laughing because I literally had that yesterday.
Mate, so I do empathize with you 100. Like, so I was in a funk and I was like... I had this... I was renting office space at the time.
Right.
So there's this thing... I think you know it, WeWork.
Oh, yeah,
so
yeah.
So I had
office there
space
week,
there and everything like that. And it's nice, but it ain't cheap. Do you know what I mean?
It's not.
So I'm like, geez, my WeWork bill's going to come tomorrow and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, so do you know what? That day, I stayed in bed. I stayed in bed and my phone was going off. And I was like, I don't want to talk to no one today because I'm obviously not good at what I do. I'm not getting any work. I'm trying. I've reached out to my network and nobody's got budgets or anything like that. And like, I was in a proper funk. And I live in London. Most of my family's in Manchester as well. And at that time, most of my friends were up there as well. A lot of them live down here now. So it's very different. But at that time, so I, not only was I feeling like that, I'm in the house and I'm feeling lonely. I'm by yourself as well. Yeah, I'm by like, myself. And I was just like,
worst.
I was like, oh, I just don't want to like burden the people that I have here in London with this.
Yeah.
And then it was so weird, Afaran, like my mentor, she called me and I saw her. So this is like 3 o'clock in the afternoon. Now I had showered, but I got back into bed. You know what I mean?
It's the best feeling in the world.
I showered and I was
on them lazy days, you just can't be asked. Yeah. It's like, yo, I'm going back to bed.
Mate, so I got up, I showered and I got back to bed. I don't even think I'd eaten or anything. I just was like, I'm done with it. I am done with this. This was the worst decision I ever made. And if I tell my mum, she'll say, well, I'll just go and get a job. And that's not what I wanted to hear at that time. And my dad, bless him, would have been like, well, you still made the right choice. It'll come around.
Yeah.
But I wasn't feeling like it was going to come around. You know what I mean? Yeah. So it's like all these different things. And my mentor called me and I was like, and I know what my mentor's like. So I thought, I better just answer this because otherwise, she's gonna ring you. So I answered. I said, "Hey, Margaret," and she's like, "You know, at the office," because she worked in Central London. "You know, at the office." I said, "No, I'm in my bed." She's like, "What are you doing in your bed?" And I was like, "Oh, I'm just sick of it. You know, I'm trying to get these contracts and like I've got so many things that are warm but no one's signing because they ain't got the budgets Christmas is coming up. How am I going to afford everything?" And she said, "Raina Miller, get out of your bed and go to your office now. And I said, "What's the point? It's like 3 o'clock. By the time I get there, it's going to be 5 o'clock and all the people that, the contacts that I would have met, they're going to be, and she said, "No, but it's the principle of you getting over this funk that you are in and getting up and going out." She said, "Even if you just go there, unlock your drawers, unlock the office, switch on your laptop and then switch it back off again." Yeah. She said, "It's the principle of you saying to yourself, I am going to get over this and I'm going to push through whatever I'm feeling in this moment." Right. And I was like, boy, I'm so glad I took this call. Mm. Like all day, I legit, any text, I wasn't speaking to no one. That was the only one that I took. And so I did, I got up and I went. And do you know what? My fire after that day, legit. So I think this is like Thursday. I was vexed it was Friday because I was like, I wish I had more days to be calling you. Like I would continue to work over the weekends. My contacts, because they're Monday to Friday, 9 to 5, they wouldn't be in on the weekend. Right. So I couldn't even chase any leads or anything like that too tough over the weekend. Mm-hmm. But I was like, oh, I wish this was like Tuesday now because like I was on fire. You're
pumped and ready to go.
Yeah. And you know what? After that, I am not kidding. After that moment, contract. I never got into a moment like that again because when I did start to feel like that, and those moments did come, but it never got as bad as that.
Right.
I thought, right, just have the moment, Raina. Take the half day.
Mm.
Go and have a coffee. Go for a swim. Go to the sauna. Yeah. Go for a drive. Go home. Sometimes I'd go home to Manchester. But then tomorrow or next week or whatever, you're going to be back on it.
Back on it.
So that's my thing. That's the two things. Allow yourself to have that moment.
Yeah.
But push through it because it will pass. And like, understand, it's not just you.
Yeah.
There's only two of us in this room.
Exactly.
And we've both experienced the exact same thing.
Yeah.
Trust me, like, every other person. And I've got a lot of friends that like work for themselves and run businesses. Some of them are very successful as well.
Right.
And they will say, yeah, man, I have my days where I'm just like in bed and I'm like, I'll call the team and I'll say, I'm not coming in today.
Yeah.
And it, do you know what I mean? It happens. So yeah, you do have days where you feel funky, but we all have them.
Of course.
And just fight through it. Because if you believe that what you're doing is the right thing, you've got to find the fight to keep going. And then at the end of the day, you got to pay your bills.
The bills. the dreaded bills. The that bills. Will never go away. But yeah, I hear you. I feel the same way. I think after I taught LJ, you know, it was during teaching LJ his lesson, it was kind of like, you know what, if I could invest something into this person's life, a simple thing as just teaching a song. Like, it was, what was we learning? I think it was Silent Night. He wanted to learn a Christmas song. Don't ask me why. He just wanted to learn it.
Forward planning.
He played it. Yeah. And he learned it practically in that lesson. It was a half an hour lesson.
Yeah.
The boy is six and he learned it. And at the end, I was kind of like, you know what? If I can invest even something as simple as a song into a person's life,
yeah,
that they learn it and they treasure it for the rest of their life, for me, that's more important than like millions and billions of, pounds and dollars and what have you. And yeah, man, it just put my whole mindset into perspective and just said, you know what, you need to get back on it. So by the time I left his house, I was kind of like, right, cool, you're ready to go now. But then it's like 6 o'clock or whatever in the evening and it's a Friday. So I was like, oh, I might as well just go home and chill and just like treasure this moment or whatever.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean? But yeah.
And the thing I think as well that we need to learn to do to help ourselves not have so many of those moments is we need to learn to rest.
Yeah, exactly.
And I would say, like, I'm saying this as someone who's worked for herself, who doesn't work for herself at the moment. I know what it's like on both sides of the fence. Like, one of my pet peeves is entrepreneurs who say, oh, you know, you just work a regular job, you don't know what it's like. I don't care what they say. Like, I've been on both sides of the fence and both have their challenges, both have their upsides. One thing I do know now is our generation works very, very
hard.
Very hard. Even my mum, she will say, you know, it's different pressures for you guys. Like, she's like, you know, me, your dad and your aunties, your uncles, we all worked hard, but we didn't have laptops and have to go home and still be working all weekend. You know what I mean? It's like when we left
overtime,
because there wasn't remote working and all those kind of things. We live in a very different environment where we're always on.
Right.
And the one thing that I think is so important, which helps me not have so many of those moments, is I now know when to take rest.
Yeah.
So like the people in my life will legit tell you, like, they'll say, oh, Ray, you're free this weekend. No. I have no plans to go anywhere afar on, but I schedule, and this is how it's bad in a way that I have to schedule rest, but I schedule rest into my calendar because I got to a burnout. I got to burnout point where I was physically sick from working too hard and I couldn't see it. And,
cause you're always on the go. You don't have time to see it.
Yeah. You don't have to see it, but those around me could see it. And I remember my boss at the time, she was like, you need to take some time off. I was like, no, I don't, I'm fine. And she's like, you do not look well, Raina Miller. I was like, what do you mean? I'm looking at myself thinking, I look I obviously look green or something. You know what I mean? And I resisted it. And then I was like, okay, I'll listen to what she's saying.
Right.
I said, I'll work from home for 2 weeks then. And she's like, whatever makes you feel better, but I don't want to see you in this office.
Right, for a while.
For a while. And I'm not kidding. I went back home to Manchester. I went into my old bedroom at my mum and dad's. I got into bed and I was in bed for those 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Physically, basically, couldn't move.
Yeah, bedridden.
Because, like, everything just started to come out then, like fever and I felt sick.
I had that.
And I was like, geez, what is this? And, like, I was speaking to my boss. She's like, you are burned out.
Right.
You are burnt. You just can't.
It's too much.
You
too
couldn't
much.
See it. And I didn't realize my body literally just shut down. But at the end of those 2 weeks, I was like, I'd recovered. And after that, I was like, nah, I need to learn to take rest and like switch. It's okay to switch off.
Definitely.
Regardless of what any of us believe, even like people who run multi-billion pound businesses, when they take their break, does the business just stop?
Right.
When the governor of the Bank of England has his holiday, does money stop being in circulation?
Of course not.
No. Life goes on. So you are allowed to take a rest and you should feel free to take a rest. And we need to be more intentional about resting, because I think the reason why you get to those funky places is because you're physically drained and mentally drained.
Oh, yeah, of course.
And, like, what people don't realise is mental well-being has such a big impact on your physical well-being as well. So for me now, schedule rest. Allow yourself to have a break. Exactly. It's okay. Things will carry on.
You're right. Absolutely right. I think there was a time, like, to add to your story, there was a time that happened to me as well. I was having a... I think it was 2000. What year were you in? I think it was 2016. I was putting on my live event after. Oh, it's been a while anyway, but it was the end. I think it was November, and I had 2 weeks during this time, mind you. I was teaching after school clubs. I think at that time, in that term, I had four workshops or four after school clubs that handed to me. I was doing two, and I was employing two other people to do the other 2 days. So this was like a Tuesday and a Thursday. I had two rehearsals throughout 2 weeks for this event I was putting on. and plus I was doing some other stuff as well. So every day of the week I was doing something, burning nonstop. And then when it got to the first rehearsal, everyone was there, and then I don't know what happened. Like for that day on that Thursday, I was feeling drained anyway because I came straight from the after school club to rehearsal. And I wasn't feeling well. I could feel, I was like, oh, I could feel the sickness coming already. I'm like, I have to be at this rehearsal because I got organized stuff, blah, 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 blah. By the time I got to the rehearsal, I was on the floor shivering, having a temperature just there. Like, and everyone was like, Afarid, are you okay? Yeah, yeah. Like, I was like, yo, dude, like, I'm okay. But I was and by the time I got home, and it was 2 weeks before the event, by the time I got home, I was bedridden for the first week. And I remember I was like, obviously, just praying or whatever. So I was like, God, please, I need to. Like, and he was saying, you're doing stuff in your own strength. Like, you're just, you need to chill and just relax. You've been going way too far, and you've been trying to push the success in your own way and not allowing me to kind of take over and just like, just let everything just in its time. Do you know what I mean? Absolutely. So after that, I learned, right, like yourself, never do anything in my own strength like that again. Never push myself too hard to the point where I'm burning myself out, and just relax. Do you know what I mean? And just chill.
That word, just relax, is a big thing. And I think, like, we have faith, so like we believe in God and everything like that, and we being able to trust in him and just think, do you know what, actually I need to just chill about this, because it will work out. The one thing I have learned in my my career is like 10 years now, geez, my decade-long career, mate, is I felt really old. The one thing I've learned in my decade-long career, which has been full of extreme highs and extreme lows, and when I say lows, I mean like
real low. I think we as believers of faith go through some real
like low. I'm like, God, like, they tell me you're real, but I can't see you right now in this situation. So when I'm talking about lows, I'm talking about those kind real of lows. Like, but going through that, the one thing I've learned, everything always works out.
Yeah, it does.
Somehow
it just works.
Everything always works out. So even that situation before, I was telling you, I was like, I was gonna have to go into my reserves and stuff like that. It just worked out. I can't even remember at which point it changed, but it just worked out. So I've had times where I've had no work. Living in London, you all know how expensive it is to live in London. And I'm like, I'm cursing this city because I'm like,
man, I'm not even from here.
If I was in Manchester, I could be in a mansion right now. But I'm paying down here and all this, and I'm just cursing it. And I'm like, and furthermore, I've got no work coming in, so how am I going to afford everything and all that? But it just worked out. I can't even remember how or what. It just worked out.
Yeah.
And it's about having the faith to know that it will just work out. I'm not saying you rest on your laurels. Now, there's, you know,
There's a difference between resting and just being lazy.
Yeah, and there's people who say, and this is one of my things that annoys me about Christians sometimes, is, you know, I've got faith. I'm like, yeah, you got faith, but you're sat in your yard, you ain't doing jack.
Where's the work stuff?
You ain't doing jack. Like, God will work on your faith when you work.
Right.
So you got to put the work in too.
Of course.
So like, get up. And I think whether you're a Christian or not, that applies. It's like, get up.
Yeah,
it's
a principle of just,
It's like, get up. Okay, you've got this idea or you've got this. Dreams remain dreams without, you know, with dreams without action just remain dreams.
Yeah, of course.
But dreams with goals and action, you know, they become a reality. So I think, you know, you just have to get up and do,
what's it like for you? Like, I don't know what, when it comes to stuff like social media and locking off from that, for like, for me, I use social media more for my business than I use it for my personal life.
Yeah.
So there's times, like, even in the last 2 weeks, like, I was talking to, on the previous podcast with Adrian, he was saying how, look, he has to switch off sometimes because it gets way too much. Yeah. And I felt like that. Like, you're always trying to please, like, your viewers and, you know, the people that are watching you on certain social media platforms. And because you're always doing something, you're always, this little success, I've got to put this up, or I've got to show this. Or even when it's downtime, you'd be like the other day when it was down, I was like, I need to let people know, like, I'm feeling this. But then I was like, why? Like, really? Yeah. Like, just take time off and relax. You don't need to tell everybody. So, like, how does that kind of relate with you, and when it comes to social media and what not to put up on there, or how you feel? And
yeah, so social media is a big thing. Like, I'm on all, well, I've come off Snapchat now because I was just like, I'm not down with the kids, so it's like,
it's true, innit? Do you know what I mean? It's a like, bit, it's a bit too young for me.
Because professionally in my job, I look after the social media for the company that I work for, and it's a FTSE 100 company, so it's like, there's tons of stuff. We're putting stuff out on social media every single day, and that's just the nature of my career. Comms and PR, social media is a big part of it. So there's been many times I wanted to come off social media on a personal level, but because professionally I have to understand how all of these platforms work, I've stayed on there. And being completely open and transparent now, like, I got really low because of social media.
Right.
Because comparison is the thief of joy,
mate.
So, like, I'm like, seeing my peers, friends, people I don't even know.
Right.
I don't even know that Raina Miller exists. And, like, so there's things in my life that I'm striving towards or trying to work out and make it happen. And I'm seeing next man or gal, and it's looking nice for them. Yeah, I'm like, and it was just getting to me. I was like, it was getting to me, and I was like, but it's okay, I can rise above it. I can rise above this. I'm on here for professional reasons. You know, just hide that person from my newsfeed, or hide this from my newsfeed, or, you know what I mean? Yeah. Or hide Instagram on the third page of my iPhone so that I don't go on there too tall.
Yeah.
And then like, because I have to do it for work, what I actually did in work was, so I get the team to do it for me every day so that I don't physically have to go on there every day. I'm just signing off the stuff that goes out there. So I limited my interaction in work in that sense, which really helped.
Okay.
And I'm in my personal life, I take breaks. So I've actually just come off for 2 weeks off social media. So I deactivated all my accounts. See, two weeks of the summer.
For someone would sound so... That would sound like 2 years for someone.
Yeah.
Like 2 weeks is a... But when you think about it...
It's not that long.
It's not that long.
I've done longer. I recommend a month.
Wow.
I recommend a month just away from it. Do you know what? I'm telling anyone that's listening to this, I found peace in that 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Like, it helped me de-stress in so many ways, not just in terms of my personal life, but because I was floating on cloud nine, I de-stressed in work capacity. You know, I was able, I was more focused. So it's like, I know I've got to do this today, so I'm going to do it. I'm going to get my head down. I'm going to lock myself in this room and get this done.
Right.
I became more focused. In the morning, I tend to get up at the moment, so now that I'm back trying to, you know, really commit to my Christian journey and stuff like that, now I get up and I read a scripture first.
Right.
Whereas before,
straight,
like when I was on my little book quilting, it was like, it's like my alarm, my phone's my alarm. Yeah. So I'd hit snooze or I'd turn it off. Then I'd be like, oh, let me just see what's happening on Instagram, Facebook,
Twitter.
Even though I turned off the notifications for it, my mind just went, let me check those first.
Yeah.
And then I'd be texting.
Yeah.
And then I'd get up and go in the shower. So, like, the first half an hour of my day...
is focused on social media.
So that's what I'm allowing into my mind.
Yeah.
And into my psyche. And it was like, nah, man. Since I the reason I take breaks is because the first break I took, I learned, nah, do you know what I do in the morning? So, like I say, now I read scriptures or I listen to podcasts or listen to something motivational. Something that's going to do me good for the day.
Yeah. Yeah, it's needed. It's definitely needed.
So I recommend breaks because it can be, and like we both use it for professional reasons, and I will continue to stay on there for professional reasons, but also because I'm connected to a lot of people, and it's the way we communicate now.
Of course.
So we have to accept that. But for me, I just know how to manage it. And now I don't care. Like, I see stuff. One thing I will say to people is a lot of things that people put out on social media, trust me, a lot of it is hype and it ain't real.
That's
like, true. I legit know people who put one story out, but because I know them on a personal level, I'm like, but didn't you just say on Instagram the other day that everything was fine and rosy? And it's like, it ain't like that.
Yeah.
There's a lot of people, and this is the, I think social media has so many upsides.
Oh, right.
So many positives, and I'm not one of those people who bash social media for all the bad that it brings, but there is a lot of downsides as well. And one of the downsides it's brought has, it's made people feel like they have to portray a certain thing. Yeah. I don't care anymore.
Yeah.
I don't care. Like, at first, I'd go out and, like, we'd take pictures, and it's like, oh, is everyone happy with this selfie, or is everyone happy with this picture? And I'm like, nah, I don't like my smile in that one, put that one off, or this.
Right.
Now, when anyone asks me that, I'm like, you can put it up. I don't care. Like, I don't care how I look. Because you know what? Everyone will like it in that minute until they see Afarin's post. And then his post will become the most popular one.
Yeah,
and then
they'll see,
they will forget me in that picture.
Right.
So now I don't care. Like, maybe it's old age. I'm not old. I'm not that old.
Flat don't crack. Come on now.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Don't crack at all. But maybe, I don't know. I think experience in life has teach me not to care too much about those things. But I am, I've got younger kids and I'm concerned for them because I remember a time where there wasn't social media. They don't.
Right.
And I just sometimes think,
old days before the internet.
Yeah, and I'm scared of the pressures that they'll be under though. Because that, and it's through no fault of their own, but their entire generation now is so consumed with social media.
Yeah, and the way they look and the way they, and that's everything.
The sad side of it. And that's why I'll always be for them and the young kids in my family as well, just do you know what, be you. Don't give two hoots for anyone.
Yeah.
As long as you're happy with who you are and the people in your life love you and they will continue to love you. And for me, God is happy with what I'm doing.
Right.
Actually, I don't have a lot of followers and stuff, but the 500 people that follow me on Instagram, what they think about me, most of them don't give two hoots. So why do I care what they think about me? And it's just about having that balance. Yeah. And we all care what people think about us,
of course.
But care what the right people think about you.
Yeah.
And don't get caught up in this false economy of, oh, I've got over 1,000 Facebook friends and I've got my 10K, I've got my verified, I've got this. Don't get caught up in it because those people, if you can't pay your bills next month, none of them are going to be there to help you.
It's true. I think it's a thing of, like you rightly said, it's knowing your identity and who you are. And I think, I was thinking about it the other day, I was like, imagine if any of my social media accounts got to a million. How would I even be able to comprehend the DMs, the amount of that's a lot to take in maybe 10% of people you know, right? And then the rest, you have no idea who they are and you're talking to them and it's it's a lot.
That's overwhelming.
That's overwhelming. Do you know what I mean?
Mate, so that is overwhelming.
It's, and I think it's when you don't know who you are and you've probably always been in the limelight, it gets very depressive and very kind of in your face. So you rightly said, just know who you are and your identity, really.
Yeah. And just stay strong in that and actually surround yourself with the right people who affirm that.
Right.
And I've gone through so many iterations of friends in my life and I have a lot less friends now, but they are quality.
Right.
Whereas I used to have more people around me and it's but they weren't really adding to my life. They were my friend because I was fulfilling their agenda.
Exactly.
Not necessarily there in a totally altruistic way to build each other up.
Yeah. And so you're giving more out than...
And reciprocity is a big thing. I mean... Gosh, that's a whole podcast. Gosh, I can't talk. Podcast in itself. Reciprocity in friendships and relationships is a massive thing. But don't just give all the time.
Yeah.
My burnout, again, that I attribute that to me giving in every area of my life, my relationships, my friendships, my work, church, everything, just giving. But what was I getting back for me? And you need to learn to give to yourself, but also... be around people that give to you, that build you up, that, encourage you, inspire you. You shouldn't be the only strong person in your circle.
Oh, no, definitely.
You may be the strongest person in this way.
Or in this field, yeah.
But then you need another friend that's strong in that way. And, if you're the strongest person in your circle, you need to look at your circle. Legit, you need to look at your circle. And that's something that I've learned. And you can have the biggest circle and be very lonely, but you can have a circle of one or two or three. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
For me now, at my stage of life, what I've realized is my family is so important and I love my family to pieces. And the friends that I do have, if I call you a friend, I have a lot less friends, but the quality of
the quality of friends.
It's just, and that goes a long way to help you with things. When you're seeing stuff on social media or in work or in relationships or whatever, those are the things that keep you going. that and your faith. For me, that and my faith and having God and being able to reach out to him and talk to him, and you know, they're the things that keep you going. And they don't cost any money, but they're priceless.
Indeed, for real.
Don't cost any money, but they're priceless.
Thank you for coming on the show, Rena. You've actually gave us a good, nice, positive ending there. I like that. It's really nice.
I talked a lot.
You're amazing.
You're amazing too, mate.
Okay, guys. Thanks for listening. Until next time.
Peace.
Swag.